Yesterday, I had to do a lesson, a very brief lesson, on FaceTime. If you had told me when I graduated from the Memphis School of Preaching that I would do a lesson about FaceTime, and it had to deal with a social network service on what is known as the internet, I would have laughed you to death, because there wasn't even an internet at that particular point in time. And if you had told me that I'm going to be doing a lesson on Twitter, I would have said the same thing. In fact, I may have said, "What in the world is Twitter?" Well, the answer to that's very simple, isn't it? And most individuals know what Twitter is. It is also a social networking system whereby individuals can send and read messages from another individual. The interesting thing is those messages are limited to 140 characters. So you have to be brief in those messages. And each one of those messages is referred to as a tweet. Now, if you told me I was going to be preaching on tweets, I'd have really had a problem back then. Now, guys, as far as Twitter is concerned, this is about as deep as we're going to go into Twitter itself. This is really just a springboard for another message that we need to talk about. Things like the internet, Facebook, FaceTime, Snapchat, and Twitter. Folks, those things have created what I refer to as a great divide in our society. And this divide has always been there, but now the divide is just a little bit different, or maybe there's just something that makes the divide a little bit wider. And that divide is between the old and the young. When you talk about these things to young people, folks, they are just as common to them as they can possibly be. I've got a little 2-year-old granddaughter. She picks up my phone. She swipes that phone. If I tell her what the numbers are, she'll put the numbers in to open up the password, and then she immediately goes to pictures and starts looking at them. 2 years old, nothing to it. Has no problem whatsoever. In fact, these kind of things that we're talking about are just as common to young people as the hair on their head. Probably even more so, because they pay it a whole lot more attention. But for many of the old folks, guess what? We're not into that kind of stuff, are we? We view that kind of stuff as being hard and difficult, and we got to learn something new, and we got to be exposed to all this stuff, and there's all this new terminology, and who wants all that stuff? I'm not going to start talking like a Twitter. That's old folks stuff. And what happens is it breeds frustration on the part of both camps, young and old, doesn't it? The old people look at all this stuff with great frustration. Now, they realize that it's part of our society. They realize that it's not going away, but it's frustrating, okay? Because every time you turn around, guess what? That stuff is hitting you right in the face, and they know very little about what's going on many, many times. For young people, it's frustrating because the old people don't want to move forward. They don't want any part of this stuff. And yet, this is where we are right now in our society, and it's not going to change. And young people know that. And they want the old people to come along with them and be involved in that process. And the old folks say, "Nope, I'm not doing that. I learned to text 10 years ago, and that's it." That's about right, isn't it? You're lucky some of these folks can even know what a flip phone is. Okay? So there's this great divide. So the church is not immune from this great divide that exists. And really, like I said, it's been around for a long period of time. There are what we refer to as youth songs, and then there's the old hymns of old, right? And the young people, especially if they're very active in a youth group, and that youth group goes to a lot of different places, folks, they know those songs well. And they love those songs, and they cherish those songs, and they want to sing those songs. And yet, the old generation doesn't know those songs. A lot of times, they don't even have notes to them. The young people have just learned how to sing them, and so it makes it very difficult for old folks to sing. And so the old folks say, "Nope, we ain't not singing them old songs. We want the hymns. Give me Amazing Grace." We need a lot of that in a lot of places. Also, in the church today, there's this distinction between casual dress and formal dress. In days of old, we always got up on Sunday, and what did we put on? We put on our Sunday go-to-meetings, didn't we? And it was said, you need to get up and you need to put on the very best that you have and go worship the Almighty God. And folks, that's changed in a lot of places. And now individuals are coming to worship services. They'll have on nice slacks, nice shoes, a casual shirt, and that's the way they worship. In some places, it's even more casual than that, maybe even down to t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops in some places. So we see the divide again as far as dress is concerned. Notice also that there is, in today's society, a big struggle over the times of worship services. The Forest Hill Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, has a morning service. They then go to eat, and at 1:30 they come back for their afternoon service. My brother, who worships at the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Memphis, comes at 9 o'clock for their morning service, 10 o'clock for their Bible study, 11 o'clock for their second service. They're out at noon that day. People say, ooh, I wouldn't want that. Well, that's what they do. You go there, that's the way you're going to worship. And then there's those that, oh, no, I like the old times. I want to have morning service, and I want to have evening service like we do here at Oceanside. And again, it creates a big stir in many of the churches. Notice also that there are the new translations versus the King James Version. Now, I'm an old King James Version man. I learned all the King James when I went to the Memphis School of Preaching. Folks, it's hard to learn a new version, but there's many individuals today who've never even read from the King James Version. Did you know that? They've read from the New King James. They've read from the English Standard Version or other versions that are out today that are the modern translations. And so sometimes that can create some problems within congregations of the Lord's people. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that this thing that we call the great divide between young and old has always existed, hasn't it? And it's always been a battle. And so what I want to do this morning is I want us to talk about this subject, Twitter, bridging the great divide. How is it that we can bridge this divide between young people and old people in the church and in our society today? I got 3 points that I want to talk to you about. First, let's look at some Bible examples of what we're talking about. Isn't that interesting that the Bible presents to us a divide between young and old? I just find that's interesting because the Bible is supposed to be out of date, isn't it? It's supposed to be irrelevant, we're told, and yet the Bible addresses this very situation. Notice one of the things that the Bible does, it encourages, in fact, it commands young people to respect old people. I wonder why it does that. I bet God knew that there would be a tendency in a young person not to respect, not to honor, not to cherish those individuals who are older in nature. To look down their nose on them as if they are old, out of date, and irrelevant. And therefore God commands young people, you respect your elders. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 19, 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. The hoary head is that gray head. When the gray-headed man walks in, young people, rise up, stand up, and greet that individual. Don't sit there as if he has no honor, no respect to be shown. He does. And honor the face of the old man. That is a command of the Almighty God. We turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. And what is it that God commands of children? Children, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that particular commandment is not limited to children who are in the house. It is not limited to a child between the ages of 0 and 18. It matters not how old you are. If you are a child and have a parent, you honor that parent. You show the respect and homage and all that that parent is due. That is a command of God. Why did God command such things? Because He knew of this rift that comes between older and younger individuals. We turn to the pages of the Bible and we see some examples of this division as well. You turn to 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, and you read of a man by the name of Rehoboam. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, and he has now taken the throne. Israel has come to him, that is, the northern tribes have come to him, and they have told him, Rehoboam, you've got to lower the taxes. You have got to reduce this burden upon us, and if you do, we will serve you forever. Rehoboam had two groups of counselors, old men and young men. He went to the old men, and the old men said, reduce the taxes. Do what they say, and they will follow you throughout the entirety of your life. The younger men said, oh no, not so. You tell them that we're going to raise the taxes, that the burden is going to be even greater. So he had a choice to make. This particular verse, verse 8, says this, and Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the older men which they had given him, and consulted with the younger men which were grown up with him and which stood with him. He accepted the advice of those young men, and my friends, Rehoboam split the nation of Israel into two kingdoms, all because he refused to listen to the elderly. You see, there's that division, isn't there? We turn a little bit further and we see in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23, that there is an older prophet. He leaves Bethel, and the Bible says that as he went up by the way, there came up little children out of the city, and they mocked him and said, go up, ye bald head! Go up, ye bald head! Notice the word mocked him. Older men sometimes lose their hair, don't they, Ed? Sometimes they lose their hair. And that's one of the marks of being older sometimes. And here Elijah was going up that ascent, and those young children go out there, and what do? They begin to mock him. You old bald-headed man! You old bald-headed man! Sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's going on right today in our society, folks. Older individuals are mocked and ridiculed by the younger generation. What about the prodigal son? The Bible says a certain man had two sons. And the younger came to him and said, Father, divide unto me my portion of goods. And the father did exactly that, didn't he? And that young man left his home. I can almost hear him now. I'm sick and tired of home. Tired of my daddy's rules. Tired of all these boundaries. I'm going to get out here and I'm going to live life the way I want to live it on my terms. And what does he do? He does. He goes out and he wastes his substance on riotous living. A profligate lifestyle. Total complete rebellion to the way his father had trained him and raised him and nurtured him in that home. None of us have ever faced that with any of our children, have we? Folks, it's part of the what? It's part of the great divide, isn't it? You see, the Bible addresses this very thing that we're talking about. But the point that we need to understand is there's got to be some healing, folks. There's got to be some way that we can build a bridge between old folks and young folks, or vice versa. And for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about some principles of God's Word, which if you and I can keep these in mind, maybe, just maybe, we can cause this divide to come together and at least not be as broad as sometimes it has been in the past. Let's look at some foundations. The first is respect. When I talk about respect, folks, I'm talking about mutual respect. I'm talking about respect of the younger for the older, And I'm talking about respect of the older for the younger. But sometimes individuals act as if they don't even know what respect is. So let's look at a definition. Notice the very first one. Esteem for the sense of worth of another person. My friends, there's not an individual upon the face of this earth who is not valuable. There is not one person on this globe who is not priceless. It doesn't matter whether he is 99 years old or 5 years old. It doesn't matter whether he is 50 and his children have left the house, or he's 16 and just got his driver's license. Every human being is valuable and needs to be respected, don't they? But notice the second one, deference. Deference to the right, the privilege, or the position of another person. Sometimes you respect a person just because of the position they hold. You may not agree with them. You may take a position in complete, total opposition to them, but guess what? You can still respect them. Young people need to respect parents, don't they? You've never been in that position. You don't know what it's like. You don't have a clue. And then there are older people who they look at 14, 15, 16, 18, 22-year-olds, and they just shake their head. They go, ugh. Guys, they're going to make mistakes, aren't they? They're going to mess up. They're not as wise. They don't have all the knowledge that maybe we have as older individuals. But guess what? I still respect them because they are a young person. I may respect them because they are a Christian young person. They are my brother or sister in Christ, even though they're young. I find it interesting that the Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 13, this statement, there is a generation. Wow. Isn't that interesting how he starts? There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are they in their own eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. What generation is he talking about? Could he be talking about the older generation whose eyes are lofty and their eyelids are lifted up so much so that they don't want anything to do with the young people? Or could he be talking about the younger generation who think they're better and younger and smarter and have more energy, more talents, more abilities than them old folks do? And so they look down upon the older generation. He may be talking to both. There is a generation, folks. So the very first point that we would make is we must develop a mutual respect one for another. The second thing, we've got to develop knowledge of each other, don't we? The Bible teaches us that there is a great divide, watch this, between men and women. And all the men said amen. I can't believe not one man said amen. There's a great divide between us, isn't there? One of the divisions is men are stronger and women are the weaker vessel. That's just the way it is most of the time. Another element is most of the time men are pretty rational individuals, and women, they like to kind of kick in emotions just a little bit, or a lot of bit. So there's this division. Well, it's interesting, when Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, to the husbands, he says this, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, as unto the wife, as the weaker vessel." Peter recognized, the Holy Spirit recognized, God recognized that men are going to have to deal with women according to what? According to knowledge. There's got to be some kind of understanding. There's got to be some kind of information that a man has in order to properly deal and dwell with a wife. And the same is true when it comes to young and old. And there's only one way that we will ever bridge the gaps that are between us, folks, and that is to sit down and talk and communicate. And we're scared to do that. And the reason we're scared to do that is because we know that can lead to fights and fusses and fumes and division. And so we never talk. And we just go our way and we just keep ourselves separate one from another as young and old, don't we? Well, what kind of knowledge do we need to have? Well, I just thought of four areas. We need to talk about our motives, don't we? Why do you want to do this? What's behind your desire to do this and act this way and be this way? Sometimes if I understand a person's motives, it makes me a whole lot more accepting of the individual, doesn't it? Because they may have wonderful, good motives and intent. Another thing we need to understand is the methods. How do you want to go about doing this? Young folks have never thought like old folks. Even though old folks were young folks at one time. Isn't that true? But somewhere along the way, our minds changed. Our thinking processes changed. They matured, they developed, they got wiser, whatever it is, and now we don't think like they do. And so young people come to us with all these new ideas and all these new methods and things. We need to sit down and talk about them. What about concerns? Here's something that a young person might say to an older person. If we keep doing it this way, we're going to keep dying. We've done it this way for the last 25 years, ever since I was a baby in this congregation. And guess what? Ain't nothing changed. And guess what? Sometimes they're right. And if you keep doing it that way, guess what? You will die. And the old folks just say, oh, that's just that young person talking. And guess what we're doing? We're dying, aren't we? But you know, sometimes a young person comes to us and they have this idea and they're excited about it. And guess what? We know that, no, we just can't do it that way. But we have to sit down and talk to them about our concerns about doing it that way. And what's interesting is the last one, our purposes, our outcomes. And what's interesting about that, especially in the church, is that young people and old people, most of the time, have the exact same outcomes in mind. We want to see the church grow. We want to see souls saved. Isn't that wonderful to at least be on the same page as far as that's concerned? Folks, we've got to develop our knowledge of one another. Thirdly, there's got to be submission to one another. See, most of the time, the older individuals think that the young people always have to submit to them. No, sir. That's not what the Bible teaches. Did you know that? I realize there has to be respect. There's no doubt about that. But there's supposed to be what's called mutual submission. You turn over into Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The Apostle Paul says this, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One to another. Mutual submission. And I find it interesting that the word submit there is the same word where a wife is told to submit herself unto her husband. A mutual submission. Trying to think of an example of it. And what about Abraham? Did he submit to Lot in the dividing up of the land? There was a big problem, wasn't there, between the herdmen. Abraham comes, talks to him, and he says, you just make the choice. Whatever land you want, I'll take whatever's left. And Lot took all the good stuff, didn't he? And guess what? Abraham, the older, submitted to the who? To the younger. You see, there can be older submitting to the young. We turn over to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each man esteem other better than himself. Look not every man upon his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, there's times when I have to yield, I have to compromise, I have to acquiesce to something that you desire and that you want, even though I may not want to do it that way. But that leads us to the next point. One of the things that we always have to remember is we have to have a standard, folks, don't we? There's got to be something that governs us. There's got to be something that keeps us within boundaries. There has to be something that we can look to as a rule and a measure. There has to be something that's there, because if there isn't, then there's going to be chaos and there's going to be total confusion, isn't there? And we know what the standard is, and that's the Word of the living God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3, verse 17. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we want to do indeed, guess what? It must be in the name of, by the authority of, the Almighty God. Both young and old have to remember that. Young people, if you submit an idea, it may sound wonderful, but if it violates Scripture that older people know, then guess what? You can't do it. It's just that simple. There has to be a standard, doesn't there? What was it that Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Years ago, in what's known as the Restoration years, there was several statements, slogans, if you will, that were made up and were spoken among all the people. And this was one of them. In matters of doctrine, unity. My friends, if God has specifically spoken on this matter, such as instrumental music, a woman's place in the church, guess what? Even though we think that might bring in the numbers, guess what? God says no. And we have to stand in unity upon that doctrine. Now, there are some things that involve what? Liberty. In matters of option, liberty. I'm a morning person. I like to get up about 5, 5:15. I say I like to. Kathleen's alarm clock goes off then. So we get up. If you had worship service at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, it'd tickle me to death. You finish that thing by 11, I'll go eat, I'll beat the denominations, and I'll have the rest of the day do whatever I want to do. I'd be happy as a lark. But you see, that's not the way it is with everybody, is it? Some people like to sleep in. They need their beauty nap. They go out and do all these crazy things on Saturday night, and they need to rest before they come to worship. Okay, that's fine. It's a matter of what? It is a matter of option. And in matters of option, there is what? Liberty. But what I find interesting is that God has placed certain individuals in certain spots who are authority to make those decisions. Parents in the home, elders in the church. You see, they make those decisions. But in matters of option, there's liberty. And notice that last one. In all things, what? Love. Now, those are the four foundations. Now, let's talk about a few principles that I think we need to keep in mind, both young and old, if we're going to bridge the gap, if we're going to come closer together one with another. The first one is this. Guys, we all should desire to give our best unto God. Why? Because He gave His best to us, didn't He? Give your best. Don't go halfway. Don't go sloppy. Don't go nasty looking. Give your best unto the Almighty God, and have that in your mind as you serve God. A second principle. Start off everything firm and rigid. Everything. Parents, you can learn that too. You start off hard, because you can always what? Loosen the belt. But guess what? If you start off sloppy, if you start off easy and simple, and it starts to digress on you, guess what? You can't hardly reel it in, can you? That advice was given to me and Kathleen by a superintendent of a private school with regard to our children. He said, always start firm and rigid, and you can always loosen the belt. Another point. Not all traditions are bad. It's funny to me that the minute a young person sees a tradition, they say, "Oh, that's a tradition, that's bad." Down at that church, we sing two songs, have a prayer, have a song, and then have the lesson, and we do that every week. That's bad. We need to change that. What's bad about it? What's bad about it? Are we doing the will of God? Yes. And guess what? the elders of the congregation have learned that if you do it with these things in mind, that you always stay on time. You sing 50 songs before the lesson, the preacher can preach 5 minutes, and the congregation said, amen. But isn't that the truth? Not all traditions are bad just because they're a tradition. But notice next. There are some traditions that need to change, folks. There's no doubt about that. And it's okay if we want to change a tradition. Nothing wrong with that at all. Here's another one. New traditions eventually become old traditions. Congregation I know of over in Arkansas, they didn't want to be traditional and close with a closing prayer. So they closed with a closing song. Now, you talking about weird. First time you go into that, that's weird. Okay? Because they have a prayer, and then they announce a song, and you sing the song, and after the song, guess what? You just walk out. You close your book, and you just walk out. You know, we're used to hearing, amen, and then we can walk out. Right? So you go to that congregation, and you're used to an amen, and they just sing a song. You're uncomfortable. But guess what? Now that's the old tradition of that congregation. What about all those kids who've been born since that time? And they're now 12, 13, 14. Oh, this is the way we've done it at this old church all our lives. And it was a new tradition to do away with an old one. But to them, it's old, you see. All traditions eventually become old. Another point, young people, listen to me. One of these days, you live long enough, you're going to get old. I don't care what you think, you're going to get old. Okay? First time I ever realized that, I was in my 30s, and that was what blew my mind. We had another man in charge of the wilderness program there. He left, and guess what that made me? The oldest man in my 30s. One day we were there in the group. They looked at me and they said, well, Vic, you're the old man here. Man, I was just like 36 or something. I wasn't very old. But you're going to get old, folks, and guess what? There are going to be young people behind you. And guess what they're going to be doing? They're going to be laughing at you. They're going to be pushing you. They're going to be wanting you to change, want you to be different. And you're going to go, oh, there's them young people. Just keep it in mind. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9:22? I am become all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. Maybe we haven't taught this enough. There's times when we have to become all things to all men. I ain't going to learn that internet stuff. I ain't going to be involved in all that junk. You better if you're going to become all things to young people. Because they know that stuff, folks. I don't enjoy learning all that stuff. It takes me double or triple or quadruple the time to learn it that a young person does. But guess what? You need to learn some of it so that you can talk to them and deal with them in a good way. Talk their language. Another thing that we need to remember, it's okay to try something new. As long as it's scriptural, as long as it doesn't violate the will of God, it's okay to try something new. If it doesn't work, guess what we can do? We can change it, quit it, whatever. Try something new. Here's something young people need to realize too. God has always put older individuals in charge of younger individuals. That's the way it's always been, folks. Under patriarchy, under the Mosaic age, under the Christian age, who is it that oversees the congregation? Are you ready for this? Elders. That word means old men. That's what it literally means. Men of age. Why? Because God understands that those men have more knowledge, more wisdom, have experienced more than younger people have, and won't mess up nearly the way a young person messes up. You got problems with the elderly being over things, you need to die and go talk to God about it. Because He's the one who made it that way. One more point, I thought. I'm not on earth to cater to my needs. It's amazing to me how many people think that the church got to cater to them. You don't cater to me, guess what? I'll just leave, go somewhere else. Well, guess what? They're not going to cater to you either. That's not the design of the church. My friends, you and I have been designed to fear God and keep His commandments. You and I have been designed to be members of the body of Christ. And as members, you and I are to use our strength, our talents, our abilities, our money, whatever we have, to the glory and honor of the Almighty God. That's why we're here. We are to be spent and used up in the service of God and not have my needs all catered to. Sad, many churches have turned to exactly that, haven't they? Catering to needs. And folks, guess what? A church can't cater to every need. It's an impossibility. Impossible. Point number three. Guys, this thing that we're talking about is going to be needed in every generation. You know that? I got to thinking about the 50s. That's when old Elvis came along. First time he ever was seen on national television, the Ed Sullivan Show. I believe it was on June 24th, something like that. Around 1956. Could only show him from about his shoulders up because he gyrated so much. Some of you in here, some of you old folks wanted to see the gyration, didn't you? And you talk about Elvis and all these old folks. Ooh, I just love Elvis. My grandma loved Elvis. Then you get into the 60s and guess what? Then you got the Beatles come along and long-haired hippie freaks from over in England. Okay? And now you hear a song on the radio from the Beatles and you're one of them old folks. You go, ooh, that show does sound good. And we come on down a little bit further in the 1970s and Kiss. I remember that group. Went to see them two or three times. Got them faces all painted. Standing on stacks that are about 2 feet high. Screaming and hollering and shouting. My parents, they said, oh, what a mess that is. And all of a sudden you come into the 80s and there's Madonna. Oh, there's Madonna. And guess what? We can just keep going, can't we? Folks, every generation has got these difficulties. And you see, these individuals caused difficulties between old and young, didn't they? Watch this next one. When I was a little boy, I loved to go to my grandmother on my dad's side because she had a television. Just black and white, but she had a television. My grandparents, who lived in Camden, Tennessee at the time, they did not have a TV and they did not have air conditioning till I was well into my teens. Not even air conditioning. Mom and Daddy come along and say, y'all about to go spend a week with your grandma. Where? Camden? Ugh! It was horrible. But see, they grew up that way, didn't they? They ain't spending no money on no television. Don't need air conditioning. Raise them windows and fan, boy. Notice also, in today's society, there's a lot of older people who don't have computers even. You know that? Don't even have a computer in their house. And I say old, I'm talking about some of them 60, 70 years old. Now, that's not every one of them, but some of them. And guess what? There are a lot of older individuals today who will not go out and buy an iPhone. They'll tell you, I got enough phone with my landline or my jitterbug. We're always going to have this problem, folks, in every generation. And what we have to do is we have to focus upon the foundations and upon the principles that we've talked about in this lesson and try to bring young and old together. And the question that we ask is why? And the reason is this, because the Lord does not want division in His body. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. God never said, divide my people between young and old. That's not the way it's supposed to be. In order to do that, it's going to take love, isn't it? Jesus said, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. Now, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because that commandment, love one another, is found in the Old Testament. So how is it new? What's different about it now? A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. Watch this. As I have loved you, so ought ye to love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A new standard, folks. And the new standard of love is how our Lord has loved us. Is there a great divide between deity and humanity? Oh, yes. And our Lord bridged that divide and loved us, didn't He? And that's what we have to do, one with another. Who would have ever thought Vic would preach on Twitter? Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. Guys, if you're here today and you're not a child of God, we want you to be. The steps are simple, aren't they? You hear the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:17. Faith is produced. That faith is a motivator. It moves me to obey the commands of God. And the commands are simple. Repent of sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. It was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Maybe you're an erring child of God. You've not been faithful. You've not been steadfast. Your life has been spent in sin and in neglect of spiritual things. And maybe this morning you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.